Welcome to Nashville and Beyond.
I'm Brian Copeland.
And I'm Zach Copeland.
And we're a father-son duo helping people buy, sell, and thrive in Middle Tennessee.
But this isn't just about business. It's also about our family and our community.
It's a front row seat to how we live, work, and serve right here in Music City.
So buckle up as we explore Nashville and Beyond.
About this day, it's finally here. It's our first podcast episode.
It is. I'm nervous. Yeah. What do we do? I don't know what to do with my hands.
I know, and it is scary doing your first podcast because a lot of people have asked us, like, what's it going to be about? And it's about finding what we're going to do.
You'll find out when we do live on air.
Yeah. So, you know, I love the idea you brought it because it's going to be each episode is going to be the one about ...
Yeah.
And so this episode is the one about us.
Yeah.
You know, and
kind of a trailer into what we, what we do, who we are, and what people can expect moving forward in this podcast. There's going to be a lot. We're going to talk about everything and anything. We'll always try to tie in real estate, but most importantly, I think, is this is an opportunity for people to get to know us
and Nashville,
and who we are and what we love about our city.
So. I agree. And we'll see how it goes. I'm excited. Thank you for agreeing to do this.
Absolutely. You know, pull teeth.
Yeah. When we first, I mean, you're one of those people that, you know, I've learned that you like to hear things and then let it sit for a while and marinate it.
It's got
to
simmer.
I've already thought through a whole idea first, and then I tend to drag people along as opposed to let them come. So when we sat and I said, hey, we're going to do a podcast, and we sat down at that first meeting, you were like a deer in headlights. So thank you for agreeing. Well,
in the words of your husband, my dad, the great Reverend Greg Bullard, I'm a crock pot. I need ingredients added in slowly and to let them simmer and cook, sometimes 8 hours, sometimes overnight. And the next day, I'll be ready.
And I'm a microwave.
You're a microwave.
And ding! I'm ready. I want it to be. And it'll still taste good, but maybe it won't be as nutritious. And if we took some time with it, So thank you again for agreeing to do this. You know, we'll talk a little bit about our backgrounds first. Let's talk a little about your background. Where did you come from? How did you end up doing this here?
Yeah, so I joined you last year in this business. And, you know, I've just finished my first year. It was a pretty good first year, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, there's definitely some highs. There's definitely some lows towards the end of the year. Obviously, the market took the turn that it did, and things have kind of slowed down, but that's totally fine. We press on.
If you can survive this market, you can survive.
That's what he keeps saying. And so I'm like, I just got to hang on. Just hang on. Hang on to daddy's coattails.
The great words of Wilson Phillips. Hold on for one more day.
Exactly, exactly. You know, before this, I was working at TikTok. So I had a tech-heavy presence and a background. I worked a lot with AI, was helping to train some AI programs. That'd make a great episode, actually, for us to talk about AI. That might be the first one we do.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I love that idea.
Tell me about you. What was your first sale like? Because I've just finished my first year. Yeah. Your first year was 20 years ago. Do you remember the very first sale that you had?
It was a nightmare, and I hate telling this story, but it's become a fabric of who I am. I lived in a condo in South Nashville.
Okay.
I paid like $38,000 for that condo.
Okay.
And across the breezeway from me was a couple. And they were like, hey, we're wanting to buy a place, but we're not in a hurry. We have some wedding money. We really want to buy a house. Will you work with us? And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, I have nothing better to do. So I'll just go out and show properties. I think every new agent does that. And so, you know, they were wanting to see all kinds of houses. We saw a house that was a major mansion in East Nashville that was like almost $1 million.
And what was
like,
their budget?
Exactly. You know, I'm thinking, you know, $200,000, $300,000, that kind of thing, which was back then was a lot of money.
Sure.
Because they were willing to go up to $300,000 because they had this wedding money. So I thought and everything. And so they loved the big mansion. And I was kind of like, sometimes you want to save face for your own buyers because I'm like, I don't think y'all can buy this, but I didn't say that. So I was like, let's go look at some more. And I show them another historic home that was like 200 and something that was gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And so after we got to the inspection time, there used to be in the contract a little box you had to check that if you you had options to walk away if you didn't like what happened. Yeah. Well, the house had a major structural issue, and I didn't check that box.
Oh, great.
I forgot to check the box.
Wow.
And so they couldn't get out of the deal.
Yeah.
And they weren't happy about it. They knew I didn't know what I was doing, so blame went both ways. But, you know, after it was over, you know, we got it closed and everything, and then they said, thank you so much for not letting us buy that other house. Uh-huh. We were going to buy it with, you know, we have over $1 million from our wedding dowry for this, and we can save it on other things. And thank you for that. And I didn't know that possibly my first sale could be in a major mansion, historic site for over $1 million. So that was my first deal. It wasn't great. Not happy or proud of the story, but it's just part of who I am. And I've come a real long way.
Yeah, you sure have. Yeah. I remember the first deal that I attempted to do was with you, and we were on our way to Niagara Falls.
Oh gosh, the Whisperers. We won't say what else.
We had a nickname for
them. We don't talk bad about our clients. Yeah. Clearly, but these weren't our clients.
Yeah, there was no agreement.
They were just on the other side of a sale, and
it ended up going south quickly, and
it ruined our trip.
It stayed there. It ruined our trip.
Yeah, if I say Niagara Falls, you immediately think of.
I have PTSD from it for sure.
It was horrible.
I think about those people all the time. Not all the time, but whenever you say Niagara Falls, absolutely, I think about them. Something that most people probably wouldn't know about you, for those who are new to you, for those who are new to us, is that you actually spent time on television. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Somebody brought this up yesterday. It's so weird. They were like, you were kind of the first guy in Nashville to do HGTV shows and TLC shows, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I was on some of the original episodes of House Hunters. Back in the day, there's several of those. There was a show called The Top 25 House Buying Tips I narrated for that. It's a production company called Pytown. There was one called, Goodbye, Bad Buy. Doesn't air anymore, but it was with me and a home inspector and a buyer, and we decided what was the good buy and the bad buy. Mm. Did that for several episodes. I was on TLC's Flip This House. So several of those things. And probably something that most people don't know about me was after all these shows, I got approached by a production company, and they said, we would really like for you to do a series with us, you know, because when you're doing these other shows, you're just there as an agent, and now everybody does them. But, you know, there was not a lot of people who, we didn't have video. I was doing video on YouTube and that kind of stuff, but people weren't comfortable on camera in real estate, but I was comfortable. My master's is in broadcasting.
Yeah.
So they were like, we'd really like to have you have your own series. And I was like, so what's this about? And they said, well, you test really well because you're bald and we want a bald host. It was so weird. And we want someone with a Southern accent.
Yeah.
And I said, so what does this look like? They said, well, you're going to need to take, you know, it was like 4 to 6 months a year recording. And they're like, well, you know, you'll get speaking engagements. I was like, so you don't pay? They're like, well, no, you don't pay, but you'll get speaking engagements. And, you know, you can charge an audience $5,000, $10,000 to see. I was like, well, I already get speaking engagements. What else? They're like, well, you'll get more business from it. Oh, well, I've done these other shows, and I've not gotten any business from it. And they kept saying all these things that were free, and it's like, this isn't of any value. So I turned the show down. They went to Maryland and shot it instead with another bald guy. And it's probably one of the biggest regrets of my life because it was an amazing series. Still to this day, it's one of my favorite. It's not out anymore. This was so long ago. But I think back on it, it was done so well. And I wish I could go back in time because back then I was so focused on survival and money.
Yeah.
And not as we talked about happiness and fulfillment and the difference of that in our family recently. I was focused on happiness rather than fulfillment, which is long term. And I look back on it and I wish I'd taken it because it would have been great for me now. But yeah, that's probably something that most people don't know about me that I did. How about you? What's something about you?
I mean, I think some people probably are beginning to pick up on it that I'm adopted.
Yep.
You know, one of the funniest things to me is whenever we go to events and realtor friends that you've known for a long time will come up to me and say, oh, I remember when you were this big
and biracial
and black. And it's like, no, that was my little brother, Micah.
Yeah.
He is, you know, only 13. He's about to be 14 soon. And, you know, you have had Micah and Esther since birth.
Yeah.
I wasn't adopted until I was 28 years old. Yeah. And so it's just funny to me when people say, I remember when you were this big, they mean well, and I love it. Keep saying it. It's fine. I'll keep saying, yeah, but I remember you too from my early days.
Well, we're used to it, but if you're listening, you're going adult adoption.
Yeah.
That's so rare.
It is.
And I remember driving down Gallatin Pike and we were in front of where Shotgun Willie sits now. Mm-hmm. And you looked at me and said, would y'all ever consider adopting me? And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And you said, I don't want anything. I don't want inheritance. I don't want money. I want nothing. I just want to belong.
Yeah.
And it took us a year and a half to decide.
Yeah.
Because it was a big decision bringing in, out of birth order, because we already had an oldest son, and we're bringing an adult child. And you've come really far from back then, because you've come a really long way, because you really hadn't had that mentorship and unconditional love of a parent.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we went to Rehoboth Beach and we had this long talk, just the two of us, about, are we going to do this? Because it was decision time. You'd waited a year and a half.
Yeah, you and Greg.
Yeah, yeah, me and Greg and my spouse. And so, you know, so I think that adult adoption is so rare. And
it is.
We were one of the first, I think, around here. A friend of mine who's a realtor in East Tennessee, she looked at me because I was talking about it when I was on stage at a conference. And I said, I've got a pseudo son. You know, he's not adopted. And she came to me after and she goes, you need to adopt that boy. She goes, we adopted a girl when she was 27 years old because she didn't have a family. You don't know that we adopted her at 27. You've always thought she was mine. You need to do this. And so she actually gave, because the attorneys, we couldn't find attorneys who had the paperwork. So yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, no, no. You're fine. You're fine. You know, it's important to talk about that, because I definitely did need that sense of belonging, that sense of a family unit. And obviously you and Dad have been such great inspirations, and you've both been great examples for me as well. And part of what we do as realtors is to provide people direction and to help people understand their place in the world and their place in their communities, and to help them find a place where they feel like they belong.
Yeah.
And it's so important that, you know, we always keep that in mind when we're helping people find somewhere, because, you know, there may be someone who wants to live in a place that on paper looks great. But then when you get to talk to them and you really get to know who they are and what drives them and what motivates them, you can find out things about them that may lead them into a totally different path that they would not have ever even gone down themselves had they not had someone like you there to share with them, hey, I know you say this is what you want, but what I've learned about you as a person and about your character through spending time with you is that these are some of the things that I've observed you really having value with.
Yeah.
And I just want to make you aware that there's a place that has all of those values that can feel like the perfect home for you.
Yeah.
And I know where it is. Can we go take a look at it? And so it's super, super important that, you know, we build trust with our clients, and part of that is the reason that we're doing this podcast, is because we want people
to know us. Yeah.
Yeah, we want people who don't know us, and even people who do know us, for everybody to get the opportunity to get to know us a lot better and to find out who we are.
I probably shouldn't, because you may get mad at me for this afterwards, but I remember you got your first house, and you were moving from a rental you had to your actual forever home, and Zach's a crier. You'll learn that about him as we go through this podcast journey. And we were moving you out of the house, and you just got to a point where you were like, Dad, I'm done. I can't move anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I'll handle it. So I went over to the very last parts of your house to get everything out. And when we come in, you started crying because I had everything done. And you said, I'm so sorry. I know I'm like raising two kids. And I said, no, honey, you're not like raising two kids. And you smiled real big, and you go, and I said, you're more like raising four kids. So, it's interesting having an adult child and some of those processes, but, you know, we make it and we work together.
Yeah, we do.
You're
we
with
work
me
together.
Now as in business. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about where we are physically here today. Okay. We are at the Lendingham Mortgage offices here in Nashville in Madison on Lentz Drive. This is a beautiful facility. Yeah. This space that Kevin Kenderson has created used to be something very different, and we'll talk about that one day. We'll talk about that one day. But now he's created this incredible business. He supports so many families across Middle Tennessee, supports so many clients, and has great relationships with so many different vendors, and he really is a great person to know in this industry. He came to you one day and said, hey, we've got a podcast studio that we're building, and we'd love for y'all to come on and talk about it. So here we are.
Yeah, so Kevin's just marvelous, and hopefully we'll get to have him on a podcast in the future. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe today. Yeah, it's great having Kevin and the relationships that we've built with Kevin. So let's talk a little about Nashville and Beyond and where we've come from and our origin there. Nashville and Beyond started back in 2006 or 2007, you know, because I started as a solo agent.
Yeah.
And then business got so busy. and I needed to get, I needed help. And of course, in real estate teams were really starting back then, and you had to have a name. And I had bought this website, NashvilleandBeyond.com. And everybody just loved the website name. And so that's where National Beyond Team came from.
And we're wearing our shirts today.
Yeah, we're wearing our shirts today.
Matching shirts. This is the only time we'll be matching, I promise.
Maybe. I may wear them again in the future. But, you know, we, you know, that's where it started. My brother started on National and Beyond.
Yep.
You know, now he has his own business. Several other agents started here. And then I just decided to go solo one day, and kept the website. And then, you know, I saw you working in a sales job.
Mm-hmm.
And I would looked at your daddy and I said, oh my gosh, he can really do this. I was like, I don't
know. Yeah. I won't tell you what I was selling, but I was selling the mess out of it.
You were the top salesperson. And so, you know, that's where I brought you on and was like, hey, I really want you here. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the origin.
Yeah, that's the origin of Nashville and Beyond. We, even though I joined your team last year, we have very different working styles, but there's some similarities. I mean, I think one of the things that makes you so unique is that you are an early adopter of a lot of tools and processes and technologies, and you're very relationship focused.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm more of the analytical, data-driven, tech-centric, very tech-heavy. Of course, like I mentioned earlier, I worked at TikTok for a while. So one of the things that I love is AI. And I've really pushed that onto you. And there's been some pushback and some push and some pushback. Yeah. And that's good. That's healthy. And I think we've come now to a spot where we've got like a healthy balance of your true experience in this industry and the knowledge that you have versus my naivety and new ideas. Yeah. And you're like, I've tried that before. It's not going to work. Or I've not tried that before. Let's try it and see what happens.
Or that's illegal and we can't do it.
You know? Right. You can't say that. Don't say that. Yeah. Don't say he
retracts.
You
never
that.
Did anything like that, yeah. But more like, you know, would it be great if you could do this in business? And like, well, yeah, that's not done because of this. So
yeah,
there's just things that's learned. And, you know, I've always, you know, I've been an early tech adopter, but working with someone like you, who's over 20 years younger than me, shows me a new level of tech adoption.
Yeah.
You know, I've always considered myself techie. And then, and even the industry considers me techie, but then bringing you in has made me go, there's another level of this. And how we harmonize those, I've learned with you, working with you, that you're a very systems-oriented person.
Very.
Where I'm real big about, you were like, how do you, and this was one of the biggest compliments that you paid me ever. You probably don't know it, but I remember you saying, in Esther, I've got three kids, Esther, Mike, and Zach. And I remember them saying, you never work.
He never works. We never saw him work.
You never work. I'd be at home, be watching TV. And like, do you ever do anything? And like, you know, because I'm a real big believer that when you walk through the threshold of your door at home, work stops. Now, I can still work inside my home. It does happen a lot. Mm-hmm. But I don't want my family to know that.
You do it in a silo.
Yeah. And my family doesn't know that. And then when you started working with me, you went, oh, holy night.
Uh-huh.
You work all
the time.
All the time. It feels like that, but you were shocked with that. And you're like, how do you get business? Because I kind of dance through life and twirl, and people just stick to me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I never meet a stranger. We talked about introversion versus extroversion yesterday. We had this talk on our way. Our office is on Broad West in downtown, and we were driving in, and you know, we were talking about the difference in the two.
Yeah.
But for you, you're very systems oriented. And I learned that with you, it has to be on the calendar.
Has to be.
We have three calendars. We've got the Brian calendar that no one sees.
Mm-hmm.
That's got my personal training, my yoga, all that stuff on it. Then we've got the family calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Nashville and Beyond calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And I will literally put on there, Brian picks up Zach at this address at this time,
mm-hmm.
because you know it. And then like yesterday, we had a buyer consult at 8:30, but we had to be in a meeting at 9:30. So we did that on the road.
Yeah.
And on the calendar, it said, Zach drives Brian.
Yeah.
Well, because you like that structure.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that if you have that structure, if I put on the calendar, you know, go shovel horse manure
mm-hmm.
for 4 hours in the heat and then use it as an exfoliant on your face, you'd be like, okay, it's on the calendar. I have to do it.
I got to do it. It's on the calendar. And what I've learned about you is that your working style is you're always three steps ahead.
Yeah.
I'm still processing a conversation or I'm still processing a call with a client. And you've already written the contract, sent it to them, they've signed it, and you've sent it off to the agent. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. It's like I have whiplash sometimes. And there's value in what you do and the way you work, and there's value in what I do and the way that I work. And I think we have this great synergy that's developing, and it will continue to develop over the years as we continue to work together. And you know, it's just one of those things that we've learned about each other. We have to work in the ways that we work. And we've talked in the past about adaptive versus natural.
Yeah.
And you have to adapt to me, and I have to adapt to you, and we're getting better at it. It's not always great. Sometimes we have some spats, and that's part of working with your parents. But so
after we have our spats, it's always we get closer.
Yeah.
As you told me, that we had a big spat a few weeks ago, and after it's over, you said, I have to communicate. You've always adapted to how I communicate. Mm-hmm. I've not adapted to you, and I've got to do better at it. And you meant it, and you've changed it. So it felt really good because, again, a lot of this, when we work with clients, it's about relationships and the relationships we have together and the relationships we have with other. And after this break, we're going to talk about someone that we have a great relationship and our first guest.
Yep, we'll be right back.
Well, Zach, didn't lie to you. We have a very special guest with us, and we were talking about family and how families get along. And I never dreamed in my life I would have another redheaded brother, you know, because my brother's originally redheaded too, but he's bald now, just like me. But you became family to me, you know, here at Lending Hand. And I never dreamed it would be this way. But let's talk a little bit about how we met and how our relationship started. How did, what was your first recollection of us together?
Well, you know, I think it was actually, hopefully this doesn't sound too weird, but obviously anything that I do, I'm like, okay, well, who are the agents in this, in, you know, this organization? Well, our kids were going to Good Pasture, and I was like, Cassie was actually doing all the research, my wife, Cassie, and of course, you know, Cassie, and she was like, okay, Brian Copeland is at Good Pasture, and he's amazing. And I was like, okay, well, that's awesome. And it just so happened that our kids are in the same class. And I was like, okay, well, this is amazing. This is a huge opportunity. You know, hopefully it happens organically. And we were at a birthday party, and you probably were like, okay, here's another lender. And, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's just, you know, wants to close loans.
Yeah.
But it was different. You know, I got an opportunity to talk to you at the birthday party. It was for one of our kids' friends.
For Esther. It was for Esther. Or was it at Esther's birthday, or was it another? You're right. It was another kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
At Altitude.
At Altitude.
In Hermitage. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
And, you know, it was a good conversation. Uh-huh. And, of course, you probably thought, and I don't even know what you thought.
Well, I'll tell you what I think.
You'll tell me what you think. And, you know, and it was great. You know, I could tell that you're just a genuine person. You're amazing. Just your character is awesome. And so I was like, okay, well, that went well.
Well, now that you're being honest, because I didn't know that, I'll be honest.
Okay.
Honestly, I was sitting there that day going, another stinking lender again. I really thought that. And I'm like, and I was being very nice because it's like, really, we're turning this to work. And then, I won't say their names, but we had sellers that I was selling their home, and they were buying one of my listings. And I asked them who their lender was, and they said, his name's Kevin Kenerson. And I was like, I just met this guy. Okay, well, this is my chance to get to know him. You did the deal, and I went, okay, he's being on good behavior. It was perfect, but he's being on good behavior. I've been down this road with 1,000 lenders.
Showing off, you know.
And there's two of you left standing, you and another lender left standing. And I was like, okay, he's going to just get the deal, and that's going to be it. Then another one of the buyers had chosen you. And the second deal was great. And I thought, okay, we're just going to try this. And then before I knew it, it's like, when does the ball drop and it get bad? And it never got bad. And then I turned into a raging fan of yours and been using you. And obviously in real estate, we can't say you have to use one person. We can't do that.
Right.
But you have been doing so. And all of my referrals come from people who have used my partners, even my home inspectors. I didn't find them. Other people found them. And yes, I have people banging on my door every day for the business, but I continue to be here because of the service we get and the customers who say, wow, this went really well. So tell me a little bit about your family and our family dynamic and some of the farm things we have in common that a lot of people don't know we have in common when it comes to farm life.
Well, Cassie doesn't like for me to talk about these things.
Well, you're going to. Sorry, Cassie.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think in life you have to, like, I kind of know my whys and I do the things that I do because of my family and you know, you're my family.
Yep.
You know, my employees, my team, they're my family. But I think you have to have some type of balance in your life. And my balance becomes, you know, my enjoyment with chickens and outdoors. And so, you know, Greg and I, we've got this common talk that we can talk about chickens and collecting of eggs and all things chicken related. And I love that. But yeah, sometimes I get too deep into the chicken because I'm like, okay, well, I want to buy this chicken and I love just my chickens. Because actually, and I talk about this all the time with my team, chickens teach me something actually every day. And I think it's God's gift to me. I'm like, okay, well, you're not that smart, and take it from the chickens, because no one ever thinks that chickens are smart, but they actually are really smart, and they talk to each other and they take care of each other, and the roosters do their things and they alert of the dangers that are out there, and they actually can talk to each other. People don't know that, but they talk to each other. And so I think that's pretty amazing. And, you know, our kids, they take care of the chickens too. And they, you know, like we incubate chickens and, the, you know, and it's just amazing that we're shown every day this little gift from God that 21 days later, you have an egg and then you have a chicken. And then they know what to do. And I just think it's amazing. So,
and we're going to do episode 14. On chickens, oh, Nashville, gosh, lending and selling of real estate, you know, because that's one of the things I do love about this land that we live in is the fact that we've got urban and rural both. And when we come back after our break, we're going to talk a little bit about why we love Nashville so much. But for now, Kevin, thank you so much for hosting us today.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I love Kevin.
I love Kevin,
He's
too.
He's so good.
He's awesome.
We're so lucky.
I like his truck, too, Kevin. You've got a Tremor Ford F-150. It's awesome. I love it. Yeah. I'm a big truck person.
Yeah. So, lots of changes here in Nashville.
There are so many changes, especially when you think about the skyline, when you think about the demographic makeup of the city, the neighborhoods, everything feels like it's always constantly changing. And change is good, usually. Sometimes it's bad. Let's talk maybe about what is one of your favorite things about Nashville and the way that it's changed that you've seen over the last 10 or 15 years?
You know, you would drive before and, you know, it used to be you couldn't, the skyline's completely changed. You know, we built the first house on Fern Avenue and I remember sitting up there watching the city being built.
Yeah.
And now we drive through town and we're like, oh my gosh, that wasn't there last week.
Yeah, you sneeze and a new building's popped up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's so many different things that are happening in Nashville. We look at the changes of certain areas. Like I was in East Nashville when we first started back in the 1990s. And, you know, all those homes were in bad repair. Many of them had suffered through tornadoes. And now to walk through East Nashville and see this vibrant community. When you first moved to East Nashville, it was already vibrant, you know? And I remember Rose Pepper Cantina being the only thing over there, you know? And now it's just merged into this amazing place. And the people who are coming in just continue to add a lot to our community. So that's
And you know, one of my favorite things to do is when we are driving around and we see it, there's a new building that's popped up or we see a crane somewhere. We're like, I wonder what that's going to be. I always, my crane first watch. Thing is go to Nashville Crane Watch. NashvilleCraneWatch.com. It's part, I think the Nashville Business Journal provides it as a service of their website. But you can go and see who's building it, what the estimated time of completion is, what it's going to be, how many units it's going to have in it, what the square footage of it is, and what the cost of it's going to be. And you can even see renderings of what the final renderings of it are going to look like. So it's really cool whenever you do that to go and see, oh, this is how this skyline is going to be changed when this is done. There's a lot of buildings that are coming up here in Nashville in the future that are residential, especially over in the East Bank. We'll probably have an episode about
the
East Bank.
We need to do an East Bank episode.
We'll talk about the East Bank and the major things that are happening there because it's really, really exciting. But what are some of your favorite parts about living here in Nashville? What are some of your favorite things to do?
You know, my love language is photography.
Yeah.
I love getting out and walking the city. Most people don't realize that Nashville has one of the largest greenway systems that's motor-free. I used to be on the Greenways for Nashville nonprofit board. And being a part of that land acquisition, I dropped Micah and his friend off at ACDC the other night and then got on the downtown Greenway and took photos around the city.
Yeah.
So seeing the city from the walkable pedestrian level is absolutely one of my favorite things.
Well, you know, we went to see Toto 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And while we were there, we went to this parking garage and there's this new building that's come up. Like
it's not even on Google Street View.
Yeah, it's so new. There's not even Google Street View of it. Yeah. But as we were coming out of the parking garage into their vestibule, that's interesting. It's really southern.
Into the breezeway.
Perfect. Yeah, that's breezeway. The right name for it. I was looking around. I was like, oh my God, there are so many places.
A photographer's dream.
Yeah, there's so many places you can take photos and vignettes and shapes.
Art
and all over the place. So. One of my favorite things about living in Nashville, especially living in Madison, I love Madison. 10 years ago, if you would ask me where Madison was, I couldn't tell you. Now it is truly my home. Yeah. Madison is my home and will forever be my home. And one of my favorite things about it is that you are 15 minutes from basically everything. Yeah. You know, on a good day, 12 to 15 minutes is how long it takes you to get from the part of Madison that we live in into downtown. I'm not talking about approaching downtown or you can see downtown in the distance. I mean, like, you can be in downtown.
City limits, yeah.
In downtown with buildings and skyscrapers around you within 12 to 15 minutes.
Yep.
Or you can go to Rivergate, or you can go to Donelson or the Hermitage. You can be at Opry Mills. You can be at Pinky Rings Pizza in North Nashville, one of our favorite places to eat. That's probably one of my favorite things about where we live and where I live and what I love about Nashville. So
yeah, Nashville's just, can't say enough great things about it. So let's talk a little bit about what people can expect from our podcast in the future.
Yeah.
You know, first episode, again, we kind of talked through some things, but we're still trying to get our footing under
us. Yeah,
our bearings
under us. Yeah, absolutely.
What is it going to look like? You know, I think there will be market updates. I think we'll probably talk a little about market as we go through the podcast.
Yeah.
Obviously, some real estate advice, that kind of thing. Behind the scenes stories.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think the most important thing for us in this podcast is that you, the listener, the viewer, if you happen to be watching it, get an opportunity to find out what makes us tick, who we are. You get to hear stories about our lives, our personalities, and hopefully learn something about us that you didn't know. We're really excited about talking the episode ideas that we have. We've got some great ideas for episodes, things about, you know, AI. I think we may do one on AI. We'll probably do one on music. We'll probably do one on barbecue at some point because we both love to eat barbecue.
Holiday seasons, yeah. Halloween.
Yeah.
All those things, you know, I love the format of this is going to be in a way to where, you know, we can just keep it open-ended. Mm-hmm. I like to add some games to it if we can do some games.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. We'll just see. And I'm just glad people are going to journey along with us on this because we'll see what it turns out to be.
And we are going to have some special guests from time to time as well. You got to hear from Kevin today. We're super excited and grateful to Kevin for providing this space for us and the opportunity and the tools and the equipment. Also, we've got our producer recorder in the room here with us, Michael. Hi, Michael. Thanks for being here. Super thankful for you. We promise not to eat loudly in the microphones.
Yeah, it's one of my pet peeves.
We may have some hot chicken just because I know he doesn't like it, and I would love to see him eat it. So
yeah, lots going on, and we're so excited about it. So we want to thank you for listening to us today. Yeah. First episode, first our intro. Not actually our first episode. It's more of the introduction.
Kind of a trailer.
I think in the podcast software, I can put it in as the introduction.
Okay.
So episode one will actually be the one about, and then we'll decide.
Whatever we decide, Yeah, cool. Well, as always, we want people to let us know what they want to hear. Let us know what they like about the podcast.
Email us. Brian at NashvilleandBeyond.com.
Zach@NashvilleandBeyond.com. We're also on social media. Our Facebook page is Nashville and Beyond. You can find us on Instagram at NAB Nashville. That's NAB Nashville. And we can't wait to see what this turns into, and we're looking forward to it.
And give us a jump start. Please rate us.
Yeah.
You haven't heard a lot of it, so go ahead and give us 5 stars because the people listening now are our friends, and we need you to help get this up in the podcast world. So like, subscribe, 5 stars, and thanks for being a part of today.
Thanks, y'all. We'll see you next time
on Nashville and Beyond.
This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute legal, financial, or real estate advice. Listeners should always consult licensed professionals for guidance specific to their situation. Brian and Zach Copeland are licensed real estate agents with Compass 615-522-5100. Kevin Kinnerson, MLS number 171733 with Lemmingham Mortgage, is the executive producer. Engineer Mike Reeves. Music Dusty Boots by EcoLeaks. Nashville and Beyond. Copyright 2025.